The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Thank you very much, Eamon. Good evening. You're listening to The Hard Shoulder here on News Talk. Kieran Cudahy with you until 7 o'clock. Big news today for brides and grooms up and down the country. The numbers allowed at weddings is set to increase as originally planned. Leo Varadkar had mooted the possibility that it wasn't going to increase, and there was, I suppose, a lot of heartache and consternation from those brides and grooms. So we're going to speak to some in a few minutes' time. Very happy, very relieved, I'm sure. We're going to continue our Bluffer's Guide to the Olympics. Barry Kenny will be with me again. We had great fun yesterday talking about archery, and Barry had all of the background and all of the lingo and all of the details you need to pass yourself off as an expert. And that's what the Olympics are all about. Some of us passing yourself off as an expert in different sports. Today, Barry is going to be talking about two of the newer additions to the games, freestyle BMX and skateboarding. And the Hard Shoulder Health Check will be along before 7 o'clock, as always, on a Tuesday. This week, talking about physiotherapy, but not just any old physiotherapy, physiotherapy for cancer patients. So if that is you or somebody you know, somebody in your family, and make sure you stay tuned for that. Some great advice coming up shortly before 7 o'clock. As always, the number is 53106. Plenty of people continue to get in touch about Cork. I agree with that text that Cork is parochial and the Corkonians need a change of attitude. I lived there for a number of years and I found them very cliquish and not open to outsiders. Like I said before 5 o'clock, people of Cork, defend yourselves. 53106 is the number. Huge amounts of people though getting in touch with questions about vaccinating their children. So let me welcome to the show Dr. Brendan O'Shea, Assistant Professor for General Practice at Trinity College Dublin and a practicing GP in County Kildare. Brendan, you're very welcome to the show. Let's get straight into it, if that's all right, because like I said, massive amounts of questions coming in at 53106. And I want to acknowledge at the start as well, these are questions from people, genuine questions from people with genuine concerns. This isn't questions about Bill Gates injecting 5G into people's arms. Marie in Tullow, for example, she says, my children have all been vaccinated, MMR and all of that, and that's because I don't want them to get measles, mumps or rubella. But I've been told time and time again that COVID isn't really a danger to kids, so why should I allow them to get the vaccine? I genuinely don't get it. Brendan.
I can understand the concern around this, and often as adults we put up with things and get on with things ourselves, but there's a heightened level of concern when it relates to the kids. I think there is clear guidance coming from NIAC. They've largely been correct in what they've called so far. In our practice, we're advocating people should get immunised as quickly as possible, and now including children. I would recommend keeping it simple, and I'd go back to that lady's very good observation. Children are immunised against diphtheria, polio, pertussis, measles, mumps, rubella, meningococcal disease and influenza. One of the things we're seeing in our practice is that finally COVID immunisation is normalising. It's becoming a normal part of care. She is correct. The risk to any individual child is very small. But it is a social contract we have with each other. Mm. It is important, and it's not the child, it's the child's aunt, uncle. It's the transmission of what is a really nasty virus. So it is that contract that we have with each other. So keep it simple. Try not to complicate it for yourself if you can.
And what if Marie and Tullow, and I don't know Marie, but what if she were to text back in and say, hold on, but the uncle and the aunt and the parent and the grandparents, they're all double vaxxed?
Well, you see, the evidence is emerging all the time. And what we understand is that a smaller but definite proportion of people who are getting seriously sick with COVID have been double vaxxed. OK, so yes. this is the thing that we need to get. It is a decreasing margin. And so it's a smaller proportion are at risk, but they are still significant numbers. This time round with Delta, we have seen the number of cases rise. The number of serious cases hasn't risen anything as quick as in previous surges, but it has still risen. That's one argument that relates very much to risk within your circle, within your workplace, within your extended family. And then on a population basis, the more people in a given population that get COVID, and this includes children, the greater the probability that there'll be further variants emerging. and the next ones might be more effective at not being put out by the immunizations. So there's that kind of population-based security around it. So keep it simple. If NIAC are advising, follow the advice. Get it done actually as quickly as you can would be our best advice from a family practice perspective.
Tony and Ennis makes another broad point that I'd like to put to you. He got in touch on 53106. He says, if this is a good idea, why are the UK not doing it? They're only vaccinating at-risk children. I'm not sure I'm going to let my kids do this.
Well, look, I'm afraid, back to Tony and Ennis, I'm afraid I wouldn't really be following Boris Johnson. And I wouldn't be following the UK in this. They have not entirely covered themselves with glory. Likewise, during the Trump administration, the public health responses were interfered with, and we've done better. So because they've done it in the UK or have not done it in the UK, that just doesn't follow through. We should really be following the science.
I want to put a couple of texts together. One listener says, how can they guarantee that there'll be no long-term side effects, especially with the new science behind the mRNA vaccine? And another listener says, does the doctor have any concerns about these apparent links to heart conditions? That's the second text from Chris in Ballina.
Well, to Chris and Ballina, you know, we doctors, we have concerns about everything. We nearly have as many concerns as parents do. But it is ultimately a question of balancing known risks. And we do, we've acquired a lot of information about the COVID infections, about how difficult they can be. People generally know this. There's clarity around it. So we're here in our society. I've made reference to the responsibility we have to each other. Internationally, we have a responsibility as well. It's important for human society right across the globe to do the best we can to close this down. And by allowing significant numbers of people to experience a COVID infection, we are, as I've said, increasing the probability of the emergence of other variants that might be more vaccine resistant. So it's not easy being a parent. If it's any consolation, it's not easy being a doctor sometimes. But really, the science around it, we're watching it. It's rapidly evolving. The numbers behind the studies for the vaccines are significant and valuable. And so also are the numbers of people who have been seriously affected by this infection.
John is wondering if he should allow his daughter to have the vaccine because she has a severe peanut allergy. He makes the point that himself and his wife, his daughter's mother, both double vaxxed.
Well, it's interesting because when we're having the conversation around this, one would be forgiven for thinking that immunization is a weird new ritual that we know nothing about at all. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not. Okay. A lot has been invested even before COVID in terms of making immunization safe. So acute allergy is a well-recognized consequence of any immunization or any medication, and there's a way to deal with it, okay? So to date, there is no evidence that would suggest there's a markedly increased level of anaphylactic reaction to COVID immunizations. There's a lot of evidence about how serious this infection is if anybody gets it.
Yeah.
Again, I would empathize with the concerns, but I would keep it simple. I would keep it practical. I would have trust in our process of immunization. And I would be very respectful of the understanding we have around this disease.
Another listener is wondering whether we should consider using heterologous vaccination. I think that's where you mix the vaccines, isn't it? I've heard Luke O'Neill talk about it with children, given this approach's superior efficacy.
Well, Luke O'Neill is a better bloke to discuss this with because his thing is immunology. In general practice, our things are continuity of care, prevention, high volume of service delivered at lower cost, and this is what immunization is about. I would be led and said by NIAC. They have been good. Like NPHET, they haven't been perfect. But overall, over the last 18 months, I'm glad I'm here, that I'm not in Birmingham or Baltimore. I think we've done well. We've given ourselves a very hard time over it. We're giving the cabinet a hard time now over weddings should be 50 or 100. It's going to work its way through, and hopefully the level of threat and concern will reduce. It will reduce quicker the higher percentage of people immunized in our society.
You mentioned Birmingham or Baltimore. I mean, what about Burkina Faso? Have you any reservations? And I appreciate we're going a little off topic, Brendan, but just have you any reservations about vaccinating children here when so many of the world's population, particularly in the developing world, remain unvaccinated?
I do, actually. I do have a concern about that. And as I said earlier on, doctors are full, we're wrought by concerns. So again, what I would do is keep it simple. Get the quickest vaccine you can. And while you're doing it, sign up for one of the campaigns. In our office, we're promoting the unicef.ie Get One, Give One campaign. So be active citizens about this. And if you're feeling guilty about our lovely kids being protected, well, you know, manage that guilt and be an active global citizen and sign up and contribute and campaign for it. Talk to our politicians about it. They need a direction on this. All affluent countries need to reach out. And the same principle applies that if we allow large segments of the global population to not be immunised, apart from the appalling humanitarian inequality of that, there's a huge stupidity because it allows the emergence of more lethal variants. So there's all sorts of reasons to bear that in mind.
One listener asking you to clarify something. They say, I don't understand the good doctor's response in terms of vaccinated children passing on the infection to vaccinated adults who could still get very sick. Are these vaccines working or not? My understanding was that the people currently in hospital are the younger cohort who have only had one vax or no vax. I'm so confused.
Apologies for the miscommunication if one has happened, okay? I would have a concern if there are significant numbers of unvaccinated children, okay?
Yeah.
So really what I would say to anybody listening out there who's in charge, who's got the awesome responsibility of being in charge of one or two, get the immunisation when your cohort falls through and get it done as quickly as you can.
One more kind of specific text, if I can put it to you. There is some evidence, as one listener, that women's menstrual cycles were impacted for their first and maybe second periods after the vaccine. And some studies are being carried out, I understand, due to the number of reports. Should we be concerned about teenage girls who might just be starting their periods?
Well, as I've said, I'm a doctor. I'm worried about everything. Okay, but it's a question of risk and relative importance. And certainly to date, we haven't, certainly in general practice, we haven't been notified of any serious concern in this regard. Now, one other thing I would say to people is explore the risks. Our young people are fantastic. Generally, they understand a lot more than we ever give them credit for. So don't have conversations above their heads. I know in our own practice, we talk to children more directly, and that's a trend over the last couple of years. Ask them, what do they think? What concerns have they got? What do they think about this? It's good practice. It's good psychology. Everybody understands, short of 2 and 3 year olds, but most primary school children, secondary school children, they clearly have their own thoughts formulated about what they're experiencing. So engage them in the conversation.
Well, listen, Brendan, we only scratched the surface of the text coming in. It just shows how many questions people have, and genuine questions. And I think you were right to acknowledge at the outset that, listen, as parents, we would take risks with our own bodies that we wouldn't dream of taking with our children. So it's understandable that people have those questions. And thank you so much for answering the few that we did get through. Dr. Brendan O'Shea, who's Assistant Professor for General Practice at Trinity College Dublin. He's a practicing GP in County Kildare. So many questions. I think we might have to come back to this topic tomorrow on the show. And